Studio 360.
After Donald Trump was elected president on Tuesday, a lot of people were speechless. And when they finally managed to catch their breaths, they started to look for who to blame for their surprise, their astonishment. A lot of that blame-laying has been directed at the pollsters and analysts. But blaming prognosticators for this election is a little like blaming weather forecasters for Hurricane Katrina. It wasn't the forecasts that were the cause. It was the climate. And not just the economic climate change of the last couple of decades, the much longer running climate change where presidential politics and entertainment blurred. This is the first time we've ever chosen a president who has not served in elected office or in the military or public service of any kind. Donald Trump is an entertainer. He's a reality television star and self-marketer and pro wrestling character who used his notoriety to land this new giant role. A couple of months ago on this show, we did an entire episode about how presidents like Kennedy and Clinton seemed to really understand that they were performing the presidency. And if anybody understood that political leaders could and should play roles the way actors do, it was this guy.
Jack Warner of Warner Brothers. I'd been under contract for a number of years, heard that I was running for governor. I understood that he said, no, Jimmy Stewart for governor, Ronald Reagan for best friend.
Coming from the movies himself, he realized that the presidency was a form of movie, and that if you could successfully convert the presidency into a film, you could have the same kind of effect on an audience that a movie had.
That's the author and film scholar Neil Gabler. He wrote the book on how entertainment has come to reshape reality, including politics. It's called, appropriately, Life, the Movie. I interviewed him at his house on Eastern Long Island.
I've lived here for 24 years, believe it or not.
And you'll even hear a few crickets and birds in his yard as we talk.
Maybe I shouldn't be living out here, but I am.
Reagan was, of course, the first time we elected an actor, a professional Hollywood actor as president. And I want to play a clip of Reagan while he was president in 1985.
I have my veto pen drawn and ready for any tax increase that Congress might even think of sending up. And I have only one thing to say to the tax increasers. Go ahead, make my day.
Which is, of course, a Dirty Harry reference. People throw movie lines around, but Reagan did it a lot. And it had, it seems, more significance in his presidency, right?
Ronald Reagan was the first president who really understood that stagecraft wasn't just a part of the political process. After all, Franklin Roosevelt understood stagecraft. He knew how to deploy it. Ronald Reagan was the first president who understood that stagecraft is the presidency. And the president wasn't really a politician. He was an actor.
Right.
And that notion of it's morning in America, his famous ad from 1984, he wanted to be the president of feel good. And that's what movies generally do, not all movies, obviously, but movies often leave us with a sense that all is right with the world.
It's morning again in America. And under the leadership of President Reagan, our country is prouder and stronger and better.
Who wouldn't want to go see a movie where it says, Americans, it's morning in America? Aren't you happy?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to enter that theater.
Right.
Reagan understood that if he could make Americans feel that way, it didn't make any difference what he did in terms of substantive policy. That policy fell by the wayside in terms of this larger psychological impulse that he could generate. He'd internalized the movies. He'd internalized entertainment.
Right.
He lived within it. It had, in some ways, colonized his own brain.
Yeah. It's really true, such as this moment I love from President Reagan's 1984 debate with Walter Mondale.
I think the people should understand that two-thirds of the defense budget
pays for pay and salary, or pay and pension. And then you add to that food and wardrobe and all the other things, and you only have a small portion going for weapons.
I love that at the time. I love the wardrobe. We usually call them
that
uniforms.
Wardrobe budget. I'll tell you, that's what's killing us, is the wardrobe budget.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the movies have not done our presidential candidates any favors in terms of the way that they have portrayed heroism. Because, you know, the primary theme of our movies is the idea that an individual, through his own agency, can make everything right.
Right, right.
And that becomes part of our consciousness.
Right.
We're looking for a president who's going to be Batman.
Well, one of the paradoxes of Donald Trump is he is, as you say, all candidates must be performers. He's a guy who had his actual reality show training for more than a decade to get ready for this campaign. But it's his authenticity that is so attractive to the people who like him. He is simultaneously a pure reality show circusy performer, but whoa, he's being real. He's saying what we all think.
Well, he's playing within an American type. And that American type is basically, you know, the iconoclast. This is a long tradition in American entertainment, the person who doesn't abide by the social order. And so what he's doing very cleverly is he's merged two things. He's merged the entertainment type of the iconoclast with the idea of the reality television personality so that he is a real iconoclast.
Right, right.
One of the most interesting comments in this campaign was one I heard Mitch McConnell make, where he said that he approached Trump at the NRA convention. And he said to him, you know, you ought to read off a teleprompter. And Trump said to him, can't do it. I'd be boring.
Yes.
How many candidates have ever thought about the engine of their candidacy being not boring?
Yeah.
I don't think Hillary Clinton sits there and says, am I going to be boring today?
I don't think so. So if Donald Trump becomes President Trump, what are the implications in terms of the performative show business aspects of the presidency?
Well, we're going to have a presidency that follows the contours of Reagan in the sense that it's going to be a movie, but the movie is a very, very different movie than the one that Ronald Reagan presented, which was a genial, uplifting kind of film. You know, this would be 4 years of a very angry, resentful kind of movie. When you see vengeance on the screen, it's on the screen and it stays there. Vengeance in real life in the office of the presidency is another thing entirely. 50 years from now, historians are going to look at this period and they're going to be scratching their heads and wondering, how in the world did this happen? And the answer will be entertainment. That's how it happened.
That's the author and film scholar Neil Gabler. We called our full episode about the political entertainment industrial complex Hail to the Entertainer in Chief. You can find it in your podcast feed or at studio360.org.